On. There we go. If you could please turn your Bibles to Exodus 18. I know I've been on a bit of a tear through Exodus for a little while, but yeah. So we'll be speaking from Exodus 18, and we'll go from verse 1 to 12. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife, Zipporah, after he had sent her away, and her two sons, of whom one was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. The other was named Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was camped at the Mount of God. He sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and our two sons with her. Then Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law and all that the Lord has done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had befallen them on the journey, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who delivered the people from under the hand of Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. Amen. Amen. So we'll stop at 11. So for me, when reading this passage, a lot of it really, you know, in order for me to kind of glean from this, a lot of it really had to come from between the lines. And let me give you an explanation why. Because the Bible really doesn't say very much about Jethro. I mean, he's mentioned in a few places, mentioned in Acts 7, he's mentioned in Judges 1, he's mentioned here in Exodus 18, and he was also mentioned in Exodus 2 when Moses first meets him. At the time, his name wasn't Jethro, it was Reuel. But not much is really said about him. And so as I'm kind of going to be doing this EMP, a lot of it is going to be a lot of my commentary. And, you know, it may not be, you know, entirely right, but this is really what I can draw from it, at least from a lot of my experiences with God and seeing, you know, people's, you know, you guys and other people's experience from God. But quite valid nonetheless. Now, in order for me to kind of get into it, I guess let's kind of explain a little bit of who Jethro is. And let me just say before I get into it, you know, I've been loving this time through Exodus. You know, I don't know why. I've read this so many times. But for some reason, especially through these Ten Commandments, you know, God's been just so good in terms of showing me, you know, his goodness and all that stuff. And it really goes to show, you know, God's word is just amazing. Anyway, so Jethro, we know, it tells us in Exodus, the beginning of Exodus of 2, that he was a priest of Midian. But really, there weren't really many mentions of priests at this time, right? In fact, the first mention of a Christian or Israeli, not Israeli, but an Aaronic priest was really Aaron. And so the other one was Melchizedek. Now, for Jethro, who was he a priest of? I mean, in terms of, you know, it says he's a priest, right? Because God didn't ordain him or anything like that. So if we were to take a look at Jethro and why this is significant to this passage, is Jethro was a Midianite. And in Midian, if we were to look at it geographically, and again, sorry for those who are listening, we remember Egypt is over here, the Promised Land is here, there's a desert place in between, there's a Red Sea down here, and remember the passage that God takes the Israelites on. Now, Midian is actually underneath, so if this is Canaan up here in the Promised Land, Midian is actually down here. Now, if we take a look at the journey of Abraham, this is where it kind of gets interesting, is remember, Abraham didn't start in Egypt. He actually started up here, and God took him down towards Egypt. In Genesis 25, it actually tells us that Abraham took another wife, okay? And when he took this wife, she bore him many sons, and one of them is the name Midian. And so many scholars actually believe that Midianites were actually descendants of Abraham. They weren't of the original line or the line that God calls his people, but he was a part of the line of Abraham. And so from that, we can see that the Midianites in some ways know who God is because of Abraham, because they recognize, oh, this is what, you know, God did for my father and whatnot. And so through the years, it must have gotten passed on. But Midian and its location actually was also very near many other civilizations, like the Moabites. And so what they typically, and this is again what the scholars believe, is what they believed happened to the Midianites was that as they would sojourn down further and further towards the Moabites, they lost their identity in God. And so because, remember, God didn't speak after to Abraham for a long time. He worked through Isaac and whatnot, and we don't really hear much about Midian and those children. What likely ended up happening was as they moved through into Moab, into the land of the Moabites, they actually picked up other gods. And one of the gods actually was Baal-peor. Anyway, so when it talks about Jethro being a priest of Midian, it wasn't talking about Jethro was a priest, as in, you know, priest of the living God, of Yahweh, etc. He was just simply saying he was a priest of whoever God it was in that land. It was typically going to be many of the gods. Now, Jethro knew of God, but didn't really understand God. He didn't really, you know personally who God was. But he knew of God. Now, here's kind of where my commentary comes in, right? Is that seeing the relationship, you know, from this chapter 18, it's clear it's very close, right? Moses, you know, they kiss each other. They ask each other, oh, how are you? I imagine, you know, if I ran into, you know, I don't know, say if I lost touch with Larry for, you know, 15 years, I see him. I was like, oh, how are you? How are the kids? You know, how are your chihuahuas? You know, anyway, how are things going, right? And I can imagine that sort of thing. But if I look at this relationship, right, if I was Jethro looking at Moses, I never would have believed that God was God. And this is why, right? He knows what's happening to God's people, Israel, right? Remember when he was in Midian, they were still in slavery in Egypt. And he would have known that, right? There would have been people traveling in between, and he would have known, right? And not only that, now God takes one of the possible hopes for Israel, the prince of Egypt, and what does he do? I mean, it wasn't necessarily God who does it, but he redeems the situation. One of the possible hopes for God's people now gets exiled. And what happens to him? He gets put into a desert for 40 years, right? Now, if I was Jethro, this is what I would think of God. I really would not want to follow you. You know, that, do my kids have to become slaves, right? You know, I had a high position, or, you know, if I had a high position, you're going to, like, totally humble me and whatnot, right? And so if I was Jethro, I would look at the life of Moses and be like, man, you're not blessed, you're cursed, right? So how is it that Jethro, seeing the life of Moses, gets to this point where not only does he offer, like, a burnt offering, but he says, now I know you're the only God. Well, it's just simply through Moses' obedience. Simply through seeing what God does through Moses. And this is the part where I find really interesting too, right? Where else do we see God taking someone really humble, someone who's supposed to be very high in ranking, someone who's supposed to be a savior, become nothing, and then becoming a savior of a people? Jesus. Jesus. And so if we take a look at the life of Moses and who he is to Jethro, really Moses becomes like Christ to his father-in-law. He was setting an example of, you know, he was somebody great, and obviously he didn't choose to become someone like, you know, someone so humbled and whatnot. But God took him through all of this, humbled him, made him become nothing, and then he ends up saving millions of people. And so when I look at that, if I was Jethro, if I was to look at this, I would really realize, you know what? Everything that I would know about what I would believe a Savior and a Messiah would be is completely wrong. And so I think for us, this really speaks to our lives, right? Is this, right? In light of everything that we go through, I mean, obviously there's no way we can know what God's going to do in our lives, right? But think about who is looking at your life at this time. Are your parents Christian? Maybe, right? Mine weren't. Maybe yours aren't. Are they strong Christians? Right? Maybe look at your bosses, those that are close to you, or those that God has kind of put you in favor with, right? When they look at your life, what do they see? It's very possible that maybe you're going through a time right now that, you know, maybe isn't so good, right? Moses had to go through it too. But let me suggest to you that in every part of your life, whether you are soaring high, you know, you are this guy who's doing great, you know, at top of your company, yeah, you can be God's spokesman there. But even if you're in the trenches and going through crap and going through a hard time, trust me, you are still God's spokesman. And so I really want to encourage you with this too, right? If it wasn't for Moses, God, Jethro never would have understood this. If it wasn't for you, I don't think that people around you would also understand this. It's not just the amazing people. It's not just those at the top of the world that God calls and uses. It's even the people who are going through the difficulty, even the people who have very little, even the people that seemingly don't have much to offer, right? And so I would encourage you, if this is you, be faithful. Continue to go. You never know who's watching you. You never know what your life is going to account to. You'll never understand, because hindsight is always 20/20. Now, this is a part that really interests me, right? It's the hindsight part. You know, now that I've become a pastor, there's been a lot more people kind of coming to me and asking me, you know, oh, Ricky, this is what's going on, you know, and, you know, can you give me some advice? You know, this is what's difficult. I now get to be in the position of Jethro. I now get to be in a position of where people are coming to me and showing me all of these things and telling me, hey, this is what's going on. You know what I believe Jethro saw in Moses too? One of the things, if I was Jethro, I would have been like, man, you're spending 40 years in the desert. Sucks to be you, right? Well, what did Moses do after he delivered the Israelites? He led them through 40 years in where? The desert. And so as he's going through these 40 years in the desert, for Jethro, it would have been like, oh man, this guy must be going through, you know, a humbling time, or he's going to account to nothing. But God, in his humbling, was teaching him everything he needed to know to be able to lead these Israelites through wherever it is that they were going to go. And God knew this, right? So if I was to take a look at us, right, and I was to take a look at the lives of those who come to me and speak to me, I see exactly the same thing. Ricky, you know, my job's not going so well right now. Or, you know, Ricky, I don't know why this is happening to my father. Ricky, I don't know why this is happening to my family. I don't understand why this is going on. And a lot of the times when I pray for these people, you know what I always get in my head? And it's always going to sound like a cop-out, right? But the truth of the matter is, there's always a peace that comes over me because I recognize, you know, not all the time. Sometimes it's our own mistakes, but that's still okay. God still redeems. But most of the time, I recognize God is doing something through them. God is teaching them something. God is humbling them so that they can become who God's called them to be. And so hindsight being 20/20 and having seen this a lot, let me just say, right, whatever you're going through, stay faithful. You really cannot know what your life is going to amount to. If you're going through something right now and it's looking like it's the trench, it's looking like there's no end, it's looking like, you may have been going for 8 years, right? Or 40 years, I don't know. Remain faithful. You have no idea the importance of your life. And you know what? This is not the time to walk away. This is not the time to look at it and say, my life sucks, God's not with me. Because you could be walking away from the very calling that God is calling you to, right? Moses had no idea that he was going to deliver millions of people. He had no idea. You know, he probably had some idea, right, when he killed the Egyptian that was harassing one of his kinsmen, right? He knew there was a calling of purpose, right? But he could have walked away from that after all of this. And you know what? Not only were the Israelites going to be... And you know what? Again, they probably could have been saved. God probably would have saved them as well. And you know what? God probably could have used somebody else. It's true. But he would have missed his calling. And it was very possible that Jethro never would have been able to experience God's goodness through Moses. And so, you know, I want to keep this a little bit shorter because I've been going a little bit long. But let's close our eyes. And the reason is, I kind of want to really speak into this matter, right, of hindsight. It's always easy for us to know what God is doing or what God has done when we look back in our lives, because we can say, oh yeah, God, I see you were leading me through this, and you were leading me through that, and now I understand I had to learn this in order to get to this. So let me ask you now, right? For me, knowing a direction always rejuvenates me and gives me a burst of energy. Being faithful is difficult. Being faithful without direction is very difficult because we don't know why we're going through it. We don't understand why we have to learn the way we have to learn, or be humbled the way we're being humbled, or whatnot. But could you imagine if your life would be accountable, or will account to something like Moses' life, or my life would be? You're going through everything you're going through for a purpose that God maybe has not revealed to you yet. But you're going through what you're going through so that you can become that person that could possibly be a savior to millions, or be able to connect them to a savior. I'm sure Reinhard Bonnke didn't know he was going to save 55 million people in Africa. I'm sure P. Sam, in many ways, didn't know that, you know, Solomon's Porch was going to become this. Do you know what God wants to do through you? Do you know the blessing and the calling that's on your life? And so let's take a minute just to respond and to really ask and to sing to God. And in many ways, I kind of want to say this. Is there something that God is placing on your heart? Is there a reason why this is happening? Ask Him. God, what are you doing? God, why have you brought me through this time? And then I encourage you at the end of it, be faithful to what God is saying. Go. Move. Stay. So that you can become the blessing that Moses was to Jethro and also to the millions of Israelites and ultimately us today through the line of Moses. And so let's really respond to God and let's really worship and really ask God to speak to us.
Spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love.
close our eyes and let's keep praying. As we were worshiping, I got this word from John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In this case, the context, Jesus is talking about if it doesn't die, it can never really receive, you know, as a person, you know, the gift of life in the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, I think this is a beautiful analogy. Could you imagine if the seed was so afraid to die and it just holds on to being a seed? It will never become that tree or that plant or whatever it was that God ordained that seed to be. And the fruit would be missed. The fruit would be missed. And so let me encourage you. Right? Whatever God is doing in your life, look, the enemy is going to want to place fear over us. He's going to tell us, man, your life is over. Right? Just like he did to Moses. It's going to make it seem like you have nothing left. Even Jesus, Satan, thought he won when Jesus died. But guess what? It was in his death that victory came. And much like ourselves, it'll be the same. We cannot understand the goodness of God in our lives to the extent that he can see. Because sometimes all we can see is 10 feet in front of our face. God, if I do this, what's going to happen to me? God, if I make this choice, you know, where will I go? But in this case, let me just suggest to you, just die. Just die. Because God's promise is that he will never leave us or forsake us. And it is in our death that he can raise us up with him and to make us into the mighty men and women of God that he's always ordained for us to be. And so let's continue to pray for a moment, yeah? God, here I am. Help me. Help me become the person you want me to be. Still my fears. Let's pray. Community. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer. Let's really pray that God's grace and his wisdom falls on them as well, and that even through their suffering that they will see his glory through their lives. Let's really pray for them, for strength, for faith, and just for God's word, Isaiah 53, that by his scourging that they're healed. For those in our community requiring salvation and also physical healing, let's pray for God's word, or sozo, you know, the same word for both, to really fall on them, that God will open their eyes to see His goodness as well as His power. For those in our community in need of healing that's with non-cancer related infirmities, let's really pray for God's hand to touch them. Let's ask that God removes pain for healing in their bones, in their muscles, in their tendons, in their minds, and in whatever case they need. Let's pray for God to really come and touch them. In our community still looking for work, let's really pray for God's protection over them, over the lies of the enemy, that they will recognize it's not just it's not a failure or anything else, but let's really pray that they recognize that God's love and grace is over them. Let's pray for His favor to be over them as well, just something about them that the companies want to hire and want to be a part of their team. And in the meantime, let's pray for God's providence over them as well, in providing housing and food or whatever the case is. Let's really pray for our friends. To our mission focus, let's really pray for China. Let's lift up SP Beijing, P. Sam Kim and Annie. Let's also pray for P. Hunsu and Chloe as the transition will be happening soon. Let's really pray for the church, covering over the church, unity in the church. Let's really pray for Jesse, the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, all doing M-work up there. And so let's really pray for the churches there as well. Let's really pray that God turns China into a God-fearing nation. Let's lift them up. Let's lift up a board. Let's lift up P. Sam and Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's really pray for God's wisdom over them. Let's pray for God's protection over them as well. We recognize that they're at the forefront in helping us make decisions and running the church. Let's really ask that God will give them vision and understanding in terms of how to lead and direct this church. Let's really cover them. Thank you. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's lift up welcoming and barista. Let's really ask that God will draw more people into serving the church, to have a mentality of, you know, all hands on deck, especially as we're planning to move to 3 services. There's actually a great need in both welcoming and barista to have more people, more so welcoming. But let's really pray for them. Let's pray for the people that are already there, that they'll be encouraged to continue to serve. Let's pray for the leaders, Bonnie and myself, if you could lift us up, and just for God's wisdom in how to lead these ministries and to be able to do a good job. So let's pray. Let's also lift up the men's ministry. Let's pray for their Pure Desire group on Mondays. Let's lift up their Monday morning prayer meeting. Let's ask God to just draw more men into the desiring to pray. Let's pray for the women's ministry as well. Yama and Yamama, let's really pray for the leaders. Pray that God really does an amazing work in discipleship and just drawing men and women to becoming righteous men and women of God. Let's lift up house churches tonight as well. Causeway Bay Elements, Happy Valley Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Lion Rock, and Tai Hang. Let's really pray for God's Spirit to come, and to really touch them, to open their eyes, and to bring revelation. Let's really pray for God's unity over them as well, and for encouragement for the leaders. Let's lift up the retreat. Let's really pray for Pastor Benjamin Robinson. Let's really pray for covering over him. Let's pray for the logistics of the retreat, for presence of God to already be filling the Nansha site, that he'll be already preparing our time there. Let's really pray for unity of the churches as all the plans will be coming together. But let's really just pray that God continues to give us direction and refreshing as we build into God's kingdom. Lift our Lent focus in terms of the churches of Hong Kong. Let's really pray for St. Stephen's, the Hung Phuc Vineyard. Let's really pray for Jackie Pullinger. Let's really pray that she'll be able to lead the church well. Let's really pray that God speaks to her. pray that they'll be able to help those dealing with all kinds of addictions in different terms of whether it's drugs or alcohol. Let's pray for the homes where they meet. Let's really pray that God really enters into those places. Let's pray that Christ just comes and sets people free. And just pray for God's blessing over her, Jackie, her entire team, and the entire St. Stephen's Society and facilities. Let's really pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, that really shows us, God, many examples, God, of fallible people, God, and people who go through the toughest times, Lord, but yet become some of the greatest men and women of God, Lord. People like Moses, people like David, Lord, even people like Paul, and ultimately Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these examples so we can have hope, Lord, to recognize that even when life is not the greatest or the easiest, we know that we are in your hands. So, Father, help us, God, to learn to walk in faithfulness in all accounts, in all times, in all ways, because we never know, God, the people that we are going to impact. And so, Lord, in that, Lord, help us remain Christ-centered and focused in our lives so that you can receive all glory, honor, and power. Father, we praise you. We thank you, and we love you. So, Lord, would you bless my friends, God? Lord, I lift them up to you. God, I pray for your protection over them. I ask, God, would you cover their families, cover their workplaces, cover their relationships, God, and I ask that you'll protect them from backlash as well. Father, would you bless them in all that they do? Bless them, God. Bless their socks off. And Lord, help them, God, to become some of the greatest testimonies, Lord, of who you are in your love, God, to the areas of influence that you've placed them. Thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. So bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you back tomorrow.